I would like to begin by admitting that I did misread your chart. And it says Brother Reeves wants to have the third wave to break the bond. Here's a man who puts away a woman not for fornication. He marries again. Mark 10 says in verse 11 that when he does that, he commits adultery against her. Now, he says that Brother Reeves says this releases the bond, but the scriptures do not. Not say. Brother Reeves says this, but the scriptures do not say that. God is the only one that releases any bond, or anyone from the bond. Better expressed. And when this woman who is innocent and has been put away
by an ungodly man,
not for fornication, what he does not take away from her the right that she has when there is the cause of fornication. And she does not commit adultery when she marries another man, because God releases her because he committed adultery against her. That's what Mark 10 and verse 11 says. Rather than bring up any more charts right now till I call for them, please, and I really appreciate your cooperation. Just a note or two on several of these charts. Motive or method? Whosoever shall put away his wife is not method. It's action. He said, here's the cause, and that's all Jesus talked about. There's one cause, and that cause is fornication, and God will release the innocent one who has that cause to repudiate the fornicator and marry again. He says, well, there's method also, because it says, whosoever shall put away, that's not method. You wrote the word action. That is not that. Noticing a few other things that he says. Seems like I have three of the same kind here.
Three different verses.
Oh, yeah, okay. I beg your pardon and thank you. Is it possible to put away an innocent spouse? Note in this situation, the original wife was innocent of fornication. We know this because the husband caused her to commit adultery. Yet Jesus says she was put away. Brother Joel, who you're debating here? Who denies this? And the same thing in all three passages. Notice this verse describes an action, which is Matthew 5:32. Matthew 5:32, you recall, said whosoever says whosoever puts away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, or causes her to be an adulteress. Brother Reeves would agree that she cannot marry another without committing adultery. Is this unfair, unjust, too hard? I've never made any reference to something being unjust, too hard, too unfair to be a cause. Jesus says there's one cause, and I don't say there's a cause based on emotions. I don't know why that's brought up. Well, what if her husband married before she did? The reason she would be an adulteress is because she was not put away for fornication, and neither one can marry again. Neither one is permitted to marry again without committing adultery. Now, if he at any time commits adultery, they're bound to each other, and Brother Joel agrees, she's still bound after he puts her away for any cause. But if he commits adultery, he's going to do it against her whenever he does it. Jesus puts no time restraints on when that fornication has to take place. Jesus doesn't say pre or post anything, does he? As our brother read in the scriptures, he put the scriptures up here. There's no pre or post civil divorce or anything else. It's who has the cause, and that one has the right. Brother Reeves would have the verse read this way. Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. But all of this changes if her husband marries before she does. Jesus didn't deal with that scenario. Jesus didn't talk about sequence of events and what might happen later on. His point is that one cannot put away his wife just for any cause. Saving for the cause of fornication, if he does it, there are consequences. That's what Jesus is talking about. Well, what if something else happens later? Well, then apply the principles of the scriptures. He talks about, the scriptures talk about different scenarios. No, Joel, Jesus talked about one scenario, and what he said applies in principle to other scenarios, such as the one in his proposition. And the woman in his proposition that he says may not marry again is a woman who has the
cause that Jesus gives.
That woman is in Matthew 19:9, verse 8. Because what is said of the man is said of the woman also. God is no respecter of persons. This stressing one aspect and ignoring another. This is amazing. He says he agrees with Brother Reeves' position that divorce and remarriage stresses one aspect of this subject, the right to put away your spouse for fornication. That's what Jesus was asked about, and that's what Jesus, call it stress or whatever, that's what Jesus dealt with. That's what Brother Reeves is saying. But he says the problem is that he, Brother Reeves, stresses that aspect to the exclusion of another. And here's his box again. Can you bring that one up for me? It's stressing one aspect. I appreciate all the trouble I'm putting you to, but I want you to see the box down here in the right. I'm not stressing something down here. I'm sorry, I caught you off guard there, Brother Gwen.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. It says in the box, the subsequent divinely imposed consequences for those who are put away. Thank you very much. For those who are put away, not for the cause of fornication. I'm not ignoring some aspect. The subsequent divinely imposed consequences for those who are put away, not for the cause of fornication. Can he stay with the context and state the context? He makes it an absolute. There's his box. If you get tossed in this box in the heap here of all the women who've been put away, you've had it. And as one brother said, don't whine. There's nothing you can do about it. All right, anything else I wanted to notice there? What's the difference? I just asked who he's debating. Well, I'd like to bring in this material here very quickly. Thank you very much, Brother Gwen. And I do stand corrected on misreading that bottom line down there. But that woman, if she is innocent, she's been put away without the cause of fornication. And when fornication is committed against her, Mark 10, verse 11, then Jesus says there is that cause, and only for that cause one can put away and marry again. That's where I leave it. Brother Gwynn charged my position with allowing remarriage for the innocent put away woman on the basis of the seeming unfairness of her situation. No, it doesn't. My position allows this innocent put-away woman to remarry on the basis of her putting away her husband for fornication. That's where I base it. It's not because there's some unfairness or some emotional situation. I do not do that. My position allows this innocent put-away woman to remarry on the basis of her putting away her husband for fornication. Brother Wayne charged me with using the term put-away in two different ways, with two different meanings. One way in cases not involving fornication, and a different way in cases involving fornication. That is not what I teach. Where have I ever said so? Brother Joel, who are you debating? Who are you debating? I want you to keep that before you. Any married person has the ability to repudiate
his mate. Anyone can do that. Both make vows, both can disavow.
They're both employers. Both can fire, to use his
analogy,
but analogous. However, only one putting away meets with God's approval. They're not two puttings away. Two can do it, but only one is going to be approved of God, if at all. Maybe both puttings away are not approved of God. If there's a cause for fornication in putting away, God will approve of that. And incidentally, I did not say recognize in the sense of that God doesn't recognize a marriage in the sense that he doesn't see it, doesn't know it occurs. I'm using it in the sense of approve, and I'm trying to avoid the word recognize because of the controversy over it. God sees things, but God does not approve of things. The one in which an innocent mate puts away his fornicator mate for the cause of fornication, that's the one that meets with God's approval. All other puttings away, those seen by God, recognize in the sense of seeing it, knows it happens. Of course I admit that. I don't deny it. He keeps putting charts up here that that's what I want to say, that in the eyes of God, and God doesn't, it's not really divorce, not really I'm denying it. As I said yes to his question, does marriage mean marriage? Does divorce mean divorce? I said yes, but he keeps bringing that up. Brother Wayne keeps insisting that the proposition he affirms is parallel to these passages. He said they're almost identical last night. Those were his exact words. In other words, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. But he says it's just almost identical to what these passages say. Those passages talk about putting away not for the cause of fornication. The cause of fornication is not in the scenarios of these passages. It's in Joel's proposition. And then commits fornication. That's where the fornication is in his proposition. He says specifically forbidden. This is a little dim. I hope that you can read it from there. I'll read it for you. Here are the three scriptures, Matthew 5:32. Notice what he underscores. Her that is divorced. Jesus is talking about whosoever does something in marrying her, what the consequences are. All he sees is who's divorced, a divorced woman. Here's his box again. That's all he sees. That's what he underscores. And whoso marries, why didn't you underscore what Jesus is talking about? Whosoever. No, we're going to underscore her that is put away. We're going to make an absolute out of that. Luke 16:18. See, here's the third time. Jesus says it three times, and every time he's talking about the consequence of some man doing something, marrying a put away woman, not for the cause of fornication, he is going to commit adultery. That's what Jesus is saying in all of these passages. And incidentally, three times, Matthew 19:9, Luke 16:18, and Mark 10:11, three times Jesus says, he that puts away his wife, hear it, he who puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery. One fellow wanted to make a box and label it the putting awayers. Every time it says, he that puts away his wife marries again commits adultery. Does Joel not believe that? If a man puts away his wife for fornication and marries again, does he commit adultery? Oh, no. No. Well, that's what it says. He doesn't want to make an absolute out of part A, but out of part B, that's an absolute. No, in both cases. There's no fornication involved. That's why the husband who puts away his wife and marries again commits adultery. There was no cause of fornication for putting her away. And that's why whoever marries her that is put away, not for the cause of fornication, commits adultery, because she was put away not for the cause of fornication, and God did not release them. They're both bound. He admits it. Both of them are teaching the same thing. Neither is an absolute, or both of them are. No, both are stated in a context. It is Brother Gwynn who adds from his scenario the proposition, the cause of fornication, to the scenario that Jesus addressed in these passages. There was no cause for fornication, no cause of fornication in what Jesus is talking about, but Brother Gwynn, he adds that it's in his proposition and then commits fornication. Don't forget that when you leave this debate. Jesus was talking three times, he says, that's right. And every time there was no cause of fornication. Brother Gwynn charged in my position with teaching a two putting away by the innocent put away party. This is not what I teach. I teach that since two people make vows to each other in the formation of a marriage, two have the ability to break those vows in the dissolution of the marriage. Do you deny that, Brother Joel? When a person repudiates his mate without the cause of fornication, God refuses to loose him from his marital vows and commitments. He can do it. He can put away. He said they don't use the term spatial separation. I didn't say you do. I'm saying that is what your argument is in this put away. He's gone off to Africa. He's put space between them. Well, I guess the wife doesn't know if he goes out the door, if he's going to work or divorcing her, because he left her and there's nothing more she can do. That's what the argument that he's making demands. When an innocent person repudiates his mate for the cause of fornication, God does loose him from his marital vows and commitments. He may then marry again. This is what Jesus teaches in Matthew 19:9a. He brought up this chart last night. Let's look at
the biblical order regarding divorce and remarriage.
He had the Bible setting that order up, fornication, innocent puts away guilty, innocent may remarry.
That's what I believe.
Brother Reeves has this over here of putting away and then fornication and then remarriage. Over on the left, you see my position. If a runaway woman that God did not release from any vows, neither did he release the man nor the woman,
they're still bound to each other.
That putting away it does not affect the marriage bond in the least. And when fornication is committed, then that innocent one puts away the guilty, and the innocent may remarry. That's my position. Matthew 19:9. This is a chart that he had last night. My proposition is, and he had again tonight, is in line, he says, with Matthew 19:9. Well, I call your attention to something here. His proposition puts a then in there. Brother Gwynn's argument is predicated on a sequence of events. A man does something, puts away his wife, his scripture wife. Then he says, and then. You don't find that on the other side, do you? It's not parallel. He says that in this sequence of events, if he does that up there, then he does this. Where's your consequence if you want to parallel? Over on the other side, Jesus says if a man does something, if he puts away his wife and marries another, there are consequences. What results from that? He commits adultery. Well, what about the man who comes along and marries her? He commits adultery. And by implication, she does too. But he just sees the woman. He doesn't see this man that Jesus is talking about and the consequences of doing this. But over here, he has a sequence of events. But on the other side, Jesus didn't say then, because he speaks of consequence and not sequence. And everybody can see that. And I'm trying to get Brother Joel to see it also. This chart of his is an example, a classic example of just sophistry. Just the way you arrange words on a chart, that's why diagrams can be very deceptive as well as helpful. He used this chart in his last speech, and the thing I want to bring up here, that he could have put question marks in any of these blanks, but what does it prove? I do not say that these scriptures don't harmonize. I have made the point that Mark is a commentary on Matthew, and Matthew is a commentary on Mark. I do not deny that at all. Now, in the closing minutes, how much time do I have?
Yeah, 3 minutes.
You're listening so attentively, you're not watching your clock. I want to go to my questions and answers. This is a one-man show, Brother Gwynn. I have to do everything myself up here. Brother Joel, help. I asked Brother Gwynn some questions. Just hurriedly, let me go through them. After an ungodly spouse puts away his mate for just any cause, excepting fornication, are they both still bound by the marriage bond? He says yes. So what did that putting away accomplish as to the marriage bond? Not a thing in the world. But it's everything. It's the pinnacle. It's the summit. It's the apex. It's the everything, because there's been a putting away, and therefore God's permissions are all nullified now, all canceled. I asked him, is the phrase put away as used in your proposition synonymous with civil or legal divorce? And he didn't answer it. He says, in my proposition, the phrase put away simply refers to whatever in any given culture or society results in the dissolution of a marriage. I want to know if he sees the courthouse in the phrase put away. I infer from this that, yes, where there is in a country civil law, but that was his answer to that. He didn't define dissolution of marriage. He means the physical marriage relationship. But he just says marriage, and marriage can involve the bond. Or is marriage no part of the marriage bond? Or is the marriage bond no part of marriage? So that's what he means. I didn't say he says and calls it spatial separation. It's separation, but he means just putting space between. He's already said the bond is still intact. I ask, when you use the phrase mental divorce as in the advertisement you prepared for the public, do you mean a mere thought process or some overt action taking place? Now, in the last 10 minutes, I have a minute, do I?
1 minute.
Less than one. And it gets lesser as I try to find what I want here. I cannot bring in new material in the last speech. When fornication is entirely, why is fornication, brethren, entirely relevant to the marriage bond before civil procedure, or before whatever culture says, but virtually irrelevant to the marriage bond after the civil procedure? For those whose argument implies such a difference, what Bible passage or principle can be cited to demonstrate the difference? After divorce proceedings, not for fornication, are husband and wife still bound? Yes. If yes, does fornication affect the marriage bond in any way when committed by the sundering party after a divorce, like it does before the divorce? Thank you very much.